we used to do a lot. I mean, I were one of these kids that must have been stupid, because there used to be a fish shop at the top of Temple Avenue and on the corner of First Avenue, where the lane leads down to the Fanny Pit. And the railway used to come with the coal, and there was a wooden bridge, and it used to be 150 foot down to the line. Well, people used to bet me a chip, because they knew I was stupid, so they'd sit me on a bicycle, and then I would start riding this bicycle over the bridge, and the bridge used to only be maybe 4 to 6 inches wide. And of course, I wasn't that stupid, because I always made sure that I were leaning so that I'd fall onto the bridge and not onto the line. But believe it or not, I could actually do it for a long way. And I were only at the time possibly a teenager, 13, 14, I don't know. But another thing we used to do, and we all did it, so did Fred, we used to jump onto the railway coal as it were coming underneath, because once we got onto there, we'd get all the way to Rothwell without having to walk. Now, what we had to do, we were sort of, me being the little one and the youngest, Joe, make sure you jump when there's a space, you see. So, of course, you'd wait for the space and you'd jump, and then that would allow you to land on top of the coal. And then when it got to Rothwell, of course, it slowed down, and then we all jumped off the railway train and went to the pictures or whatever we did, you know. I think we'd only be maybe 13, 14, 15. Yeah, I'm sure that's about as old as we'd be when we did silly things like that, you know.
Did you ever go into the Fanny Pit yourself?
I once had a look, because we used to do sledging. We used to sledge down an hill that used to go into the Fanny Pit area. But no, I didn't have any interest. My father said to me, you know, you're never going to go down the mine. So, no, it didn't intrigue me in any way.
So what do you remember about the Woodlesford village itself when you were growing up?
We used to sort of be enemies of Woodlesford kids for some reason or other. We certainly weren't friends, but in them days, everybody seemed to be in gangs, but not like they are today. You know, we want hoodies or violent. But we used to sort of eye each other off, and if there were a fight going, we had a fight, which was always pretty fair. But I couldn't say that we were friends, but we did knock about with people like Charlie Cornish, which what a friend of ours, and his brother, and so on. But we used to go to Woodlesford pictures quite regular, you know, and meet up with people. But there were always that animosity about Rothwell kids and Woodlesford and Alton kids, you know.
And what were the pictures like? What was the routine for going to the pictures? Did you go during the day or the evening?
Well, we went during the evening, but there were always a Saturday matinee. And, of course, being like we were mischievous, one would pay to go in and then let everybody else in round the back. We used to open the doors, and everybody that were waiting outside would just scramble in quickly, because when you open the doors, the manager or whoever were in charge realised that somebody were coming in the back door, and then he'd run like heck to try and catch you, you see. So that's how we used to do it. One would pay and five would get in for free, you know.
And what kind of things did you watch at the pictures?
Well, they used to be, from memory, they used to be the usual trailers, you know, Superman and I can't really remember some of the names, but there used to always be a trailer. And then I do remember films like Tom Sawyer, you know, and others of that particular type. But there were generally cowboys and Indians on a Saturday. But there were always a trailer. That were to suck you in to come back again, you see.
And did you go courting? Did you take girls to the pictures?
Oh, yeah, I've got an interesting story there. I remember once that I were going out with this girl called Jean, and she was a Woodlesford girl, and this particular night I had to go to do my night school, but it was so cold that the teacher said, look, it's too cold, you can all go home. Well, she told me that she was staying in. But when I got to her home in Woodlesford, I said to her mum, I said, oh, where's Jean? She said, oh, she's gone to the pictures. I said, she told me she was staying in. So she said, well, she's gone. So I thought, well, I'll go to the pictures. And guess what? When I got there, there she is, and the fella's got her arm round her, you know. And I thought, you lousy so-and-so, you know. And then I spotted this young lass, Diane, who become my wife. And I just said to her, I said, look at Jean. And she knew it was my girlfriend. I said, look what she's doing just in front. I said, do you mind if I put my arm round you? And when she turns round, she'll get her own back, you know. So we did though, and I found that I liked what I was doing. And this was when we were only about 16, and we've been married now for 54 years. Perfectly true. I remember sort of walk.
Do you think you've been set up for that?
No, because this particular lad, you know, I was all ready to sort of give him a belt, you know, but when I sort of felt comfortable with Di, you know, that was it. Everything else, just I forgot about it.
How else did you meet girls, and what kind of things did you do when you were courting?
Courting in them days seemed to be so different. We'd all obviously go to local dances, and there were one in Rothwell, and there were one in Woodlesford, and one in Alton. It was the army barracks in Alton that we all used to go to, and you know, you'd sit at one side of the room, the girls at the other, and eventually you'd sort of pair up. But I don't know, we must have been a bit slow in them days, because nobody seemed to sort of take girls home. Most girls, like me as well, you know, you had to be in by a certain time because of the discipline. And I had to be in at before midnight. If I were in after midnight, I don't know what would have happened. But what we did, which seems very unusual, we used to all get in a big line and go from Rothwell to Alton and back and just keep going backwards and forwards, singing and holding hands. And of course, you'd hold hands with a girl that you liked. But mainly, you were just spending the night just going backwards and forwards singing. And, I mean, now it looks odd, but in them days, it were normal.
And where did you do that again, sorry?
We used to do it from Rothwell Park all the way to the Nookin, and then from the Nookin back to Rothwell Park. And we must have done it six times in the night. And, of course, the time flowed, and we used to sing every song that there was. The hits of the day, because, you know, when we were younger, there wasn't a lot of music around, and, you know, my dad had a radio, but because everybody was so tight for Monday, my dad would only put the radio on, say, for the 6 o'clock news, and once the news were finished, it were off. And then we had things like Valentine Dial and Dick Barton and some of these serials that he allowed us to listen to. But music were a no-no, and then somebody come up with the idea of Radio Caroline, and the only music I remember when I was a lad were, we used to listen to Radio Luxembourg, which used to give us the top 20, and then when this fella opened a thing called Radio Caroline, which he actually broadcast from a ship which was outside the limit, then we started getting music on the radio. But my memory didn't go back far enough to realise why we never had music on the radio before then. I know it must have been in everybody's head, but sex never seemed to rear its head. You know, you seemed to just want a friend that were more than a friend, you know.
So everything was respectable till you got married then?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was just a thing. Maybe it were me that were not up to it, but no, I never give it a thought of sort of being promiscuous and having lots and lots of girlfriends. No way.
When you were knocking about on the estate as a child and as a young teenager, did you ever get into trouble with the police?
Never got into trouble, but I was a bit of a lad for fighting. You know, if somebody wanted a fight, and it wasn't me that wanted one, people used to pick on me. You know, they would sort me out and say, oh, he thinks he's tough. You get me? So, because I'm a typical Yorkshireman, I wasn't going to be beat, you know, I wasn't going to lie down and say I used to have a go, you know, and I think I was a bit lucky because I used to win a lot, you know, but unfortunately that gives you a reputation. Once you start winning and other people are gunning for you, you know, people used to come as far away as Leeds and say, where's Joe Lund? And as soon as I hear somebody say, where's Joe Lund? I thought, oh no, not again.
Tell me a bit about then what happened to you as you grew older. When did you get your first job? What was your first job? What did you do then?
Okay, well, I wasn't allowed to go down the mine, and I had an older brother that got killed in the war called Lewis. Now, Lewis worked for public benefit in Leeds, and he worked there from being a 15-year-old until he decided he wanted to join up and go into the war. And when I told you that my parents, no way am I going to go into the mine, And in them days, nobody ever advised you as to what you could do or should do. So my mum took me along to public benefit, and I joined them, and I were what's known as a cobbler.
And what was public benefit? What did they do?
Shoe repairs. They were the biggest in England, I should think. We used to repair shoes, and it was such a big shoe shop, there must have been 70 people making shoes. And that's what I did until, as I say, I had to do conscription, and I went into the RAF to do my 2 years conscription.
And how old were you when you did that?
Well, I got deferred for 1 year because I had an apprenticeship. But during that year, I decided to get married. I got married when I was only 19. And because I got married, I thought, well, I've got to get this 2 years over with now, because if I leave it until I'm 21 and then I'm 23 when I come out, you know, my children, who had already decided we'd had one, you know, I thought I won't be able to afford to look after them. So I just forgot about my apprenticeship and went in to do my national service, which were compulsory, you see.
How did you get to work at public benefit then?
Well, we used to get a bus. There were buses, and we used to get a bus on a morning that took us to Leeds, and then from Leeds I had to walk up to, it's in Templar Street and Vicar Lane. I was always late, mind you. Sometimes I'd go on the train. There was a train, when I got married, that's when I lived in Woodlesford, you see, and there was a train from Woodlesford to Leeds Station, and then I used to have to walk. And the train were quite funny, you know, there's times when I'd get out, I'd hear the train, I'd still be in bed, and I'd jump out of bed, put my clothes on, and I'd run to the station and catch the train. I did that more than once, but then when I got to work, you know, then I used to think about having a wash and so on, you know, but that were funny. I must have been one of these kids that didn't want to get out of bed, but well, I was a good worker.
Where did you live when you first got married?
We went to a place in Camp Road in Leeds, which were what were classed as the worst districts in Yorkshire. It was just a place that you didn't want to live. But what happened is my sister said to me, she says, oh, there's a place in Camp Road and nobody will live in it because a fella's committed suicide and they reckon his body can be seen on a night time. Well, I've never been a big believer in anything, you know, and I said, oh, we live there, you see. So we went to live there, and, of course, we never saw this body hanging from the ceiling. But we lived in Camp Road for maybe 2 or 3 years, I'm not sure. But it wasn't easy. It was quite hard, you know, because, you know, you'd be in bed and people would use your doorway as a courting area, and you could hear all the voices and what people say when they're sort of courting, and it used to drive us mad, you know.
And where did you live after that?
Well, we managed to save up a deposit and buy in Woodlesford, you know, and we bought this house in Woodlesford, and it was almost new. It was only 1 year old, and it was in Linwood Crescent. We were lucky. The chap that sold us it, he worked for a company which I've just forgot the name, but he was transferred to London, and he had to sell quickly. So we managed to save the deposit, and we got, and the houses in them days were £1,200, you know. You could get one as brand new for £800, but ours were what you call a semi-detached, so we paid £1,200. You know.
And this would be, what, the early 1960s?
That would have been 56, yeah, that would have been 58, 59, yes.
And what was it like living on the Linwoods then? Because the houses were pretty new then, weren't they?
Yeah, it were good, and everybody sort of took pride, and we were right next to more or less Eshield House, you know, and they turned that into flats, and there wasn't a chap living in there on his own. There were quite a few people that worked, that lived in Eshield House, but ours were, you know, really nice house, and I were the very first person in our old family to ever own my own house. I was the very first person to own my own car, very first one to drive, and so it went on. So you know, I felt right proud about that, to be able to say that I own my own house, you know.